if I've mentioned this, but I am so white, you guys. I am really white. People are going to be pissed off that we're talking about race today. But that's exactly what we're talking about.
Because it's all the rage. You can't escape race conversations anymore. You can't.
Yeah. Well, you're racist.
Well, I mean, I am because I am a person of power. So automatically,
you're also a white supremacist.
Now that's a new one. We got to get into that.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. Okay, so we should probably get started.
All right. So, okay. I mean, it's like a heavy topic, right?
Race super is a heavy. Because, I mean, why not tackle a heavy topic on our second podcast? Right?
Let's just jump right in.
Let's just get right in the deep end, shall we?
And it's funny because we did an entire chapter about this in our book.
Yeah.
And this was how many years ago?
This is back in 2014. And this is back when people were on our side of the aisle were being called. Well, we were just being called racist, and that was bad enough, right?
Yeah.
And now it's turned into white supremacist.
Which is a pretty drastic jump.
Yeah.
I mean, racist, as you said, is that's awful. Like, that used to be the worst thing that you could call someone.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's like, we hear that as conservatives, and we laugh at it because mm-hmm. it's so meaningless.
Well, I mean, you and I, we've been called racist since we started our site back in 2009. I think the first couple of years... It was awful. You know, we would be called racist and it would hurt my heart.
Yeah.
It would hurt my heart. And now I'm just like, yeah, okay. Now it's Tuesday. I'm like, it's just Tuesday.
Yeah.
They're calling me a racist. And then now that we are all being called, you know, white supremacists, I feel like, and I don't think I'm wrong about this, I feel like actual white supremacists could probably fill... What, like a giant football stadium, maybe?
I mean, if you were going to find the white supremacists in the country, yes, yeah. I think that's probably like, about as yeah. far as you would be able to go.
So those jackwads could fill a stadium,
yeah,
right?
Because it's not as though conservatives like us are unreasonable when it comes to the fact that racism exists. Of
yeah,
course.
It totally it exists.
And so does white supremacy, because there mm-hmm. are crazy-ass people out there
yeah.
who believe in that nonsense,
yes.
but they do not exemplify the vast majority of people like us who are just white conservatives.
Yeah.
Who just, I mean, we happen to be people of power. There's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with that.
No, I totally agree. The thing that sucks is that now the race card and racism is being used just to shut down conversations. So where it used to be that we would have conversations about things and we would talk about things as human beings, now it's like, you're a racist and you can't even talk
yeah.
to people about anything anymore. So, you know, we wrote about this in our book and just the word racism and racist, it just shuts down any sort of conversation that you would have with anybody. Now, I'm raising a daughter. We raised two older kids, my husband and I, and they're out of the house. But I'm raising a 9-year-old. And one of the things that, I don't know if I take pride in this, it's just the way that I was raised, was I don't see color. I really don't. People will say, well, of course you do, because you have white privilege and blah. And okay, whatever. But I mean, when I am trying to raise my daughter, who's 9, I don't want her to see color. I don't want her to look at people as colors, because I look at it as, in a very scientific way, you know, like, you have more melanin in your skin than I do, because I'm
yeah.
like so white, you can see my kidneys, you
right.
know, like I'm so.
And it's offensive, frankly.
It is that you can. It's totally offensive.
Not offensive. I like your kidneys.
And I'm so pale. Like, if you can't see me right now, you're just listening to this. I'm so incredibly pale all the time. Like, I belong in a dark pub somewhere. It's just the way it is, right? But I'm trying to raise my daughter in a way where she just doesn't see color. And at some point, and she's already starting to see it now, because like, she hears it on TV and I can't shelter her. I cannot put her in a bubble. There's no way I'm going to ever be able to keep her from seeing color. And it's not my doing, you know, it's
well,
not because of me.
It's interesting that you bring that whole thing up, because that's actually when I was thinking about our whole discussion and what it was going to be like today. That is one of the things I've noticed just out on the interwebs in general from the left, is
yeah.
that they are now mad at people like you who say, I don't see color. This is their new thing that they are mad at,
because
right?
Why? Because they want me to see color?
Because they think it's a falsehood to say you don't see color, because everyone sees it. But the point is to not notice it. It's to not care about it. And that's exactly what you mean.
But I don't want to care about it.
Well, no, and you don't. That's the whole point. But now they're saying people who say that they're colorblind are lying because, of course, everyone can see obvious.
Color. Okay.
You can see the obvious. And it's even, I remember when my little guy, I mean, you know, he's 13 now, but when he was little and just starting to be socialized in a preschool setting and in a school setting, he would refer to kids that were black or Indian or whatever. He would say, my brown friend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because
when they're little, that's that they have, she has brown skin.
It's just a descriptor.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that, I think, is the point, is not to be colorblind, but to just not care that there are different colors, right?
No, I hear you. But it just sucks because, and what are they? So they're mad at me now because I'm saying those words.
Yes.
They're always pissed off.
They're always
pissed whatever
off.
Words, because just like we talked about in our discussion about political correctness, you can't say anything anymore without somebody getting pissed off at you for something. So that was what politically correct of me to say that I don't see color.
Exactly. Well, this is what the left is so famous for, right? So like the second you actually have an argument that makes sense and that worries them a little bit because you're getting too close to home, then they're like, well, those words are mean because X. And they create a whole new reason
to be pissed off
pissed off at you.
And to call me racist.
And that's exactly what they are doing.
And that's what they're trying to do, is call me racist. But when in fact, what I want is my daughter to just not care about the shit.
And she doesn't. Like, I'm sure she doesn't.
She doesn't care because she's a child. And this is what they're doing, is they're trying to make children care. They're raising a whole generation of kids who care. And I don't want her to care.
I know.
Because I grew up not caring. And my parents raised us to not care. And so we don't. And so now we're in this whole new generation of liberals telling you every single day to care about race. It's like, because they think about is race. Everything is centered around race. Every argument is centered around race. Every discussion is centered around race. And it's like, and honestly, this is one of the reasons that Trump won in 2016, right?
Totally. Because people like us became so sick and tired of being accused of things that aren't true about us.
I mean, in addition to being called, you know, homophobes and everything else, we were just seriously.
We're all the ists and the obics.
Yeah. And all the ists and the obs and everything else. I mean, we just get so tired of it. We're like, we're not all, sure, there are racists out there, but we're not all that.
Yeah.
And so I fear that my daughter is being, you know, she's being raised, in addition to us raising her, she's being raised in this society where everybody is so focused on race that she's eventually going to be privy to that.
Yeah.
And I hate that for her. I'd love to be able to put her in, I hate to even say this, but put her in a bubble where she doesn't have to be susceptible.
Well, now there's no escaping it.
There is no escaping it.
And that is totally the left's doing, because they are the ones that are so hyper-focused on it. And it's such an othering thing to do. Mm-hmm. So they're always, you know, chattering about wanting equality, wanting equal treatment, but then they separate people into these categories, which does the exact opposite of what they say that they want.
Yeah, it's you're absolutely
and
right.
Some of the program, like if you think historically, and if you think about like affirmative action programs and all these programs that were literally designed to combat what society used to feel like is racism, it's doing exactly the opposite. And I think too, like, about just the victimization attitude that so many Democrats and so many Democrats in leadership hold when they create programs like that.
Yeah.
When they're like, oh, well, black people need, or minorities, whatever kind of minority, they need these kinds of programs because without them, they cannot achieve success.
Oh my God.
Even though there are a zillion examples
how belittling
right
to black people is that?
That's exactly the point.
And that's why people like, you know, Candace Owens, I look at her and I think, you know, she's so awesome. I don't know why more black people don't look at her and say, she's got it so right. Like, she's the bomb.com. She totally knows what's up, because why do black people want to align themselves with the left, you know, with Democrats who tell them, you need us to take care of you. You need us, you know, to help you.
Well, you'd think after all this time, they would realize how little they've been helped by Democrat policies.
Totally. What have they, What have they done?
Right. That should be the constant question every election. What have y'all done for me lately?
What have you done?
And that's why there's her. I mean, Candace Owens talks about Blexit.
Blexit,
right?
Yeah.
And then Brandon Strzok
does the walk away. Yeah.
And that is why. I think more and more people are starting to figure that out. Right. Well, I mean, I think they are.
I hope so. I really hope so. Because, I mean, they really haven't done much for that community.
Yeah.
You know, except for told them that, you know what, you can't do it by yourself. We can do it for you.
I don't want that help. I don't think anybody should want that kind of help.
Yeah.
Everyone should want to be trusted that they can achieve something on their own.
Yeah.
Without getting a special program put in place to do it for them.
Yeah, exactly.
It's why you start seeing, like, you know, and it extends beyond race too. Like when you start seeing different, I don't know, organizations like firefighters or police or all these different kinds of agencies that have recruiting who then dumb down requirements for certain people.
Yeah.
Why are we doing that?
Yeah. Or when school systems start dumbing things down for, you know, minority children.
Yeah.
You see, you know, school systems that do that, or, you know, they, or in classrooms, like we even wrote in our book, there was a woman, there was a principal that is, I can't even, Veronese Gutierrez. She said that people need to pick up on the subtle language of racism, like peanut butter sandwiches. You know, do you remember when we wrote about that?
And I'm like oh
peanut
my God.
Butter sandwiches are racist because like a Mexican kid may not have peanut butter sandwiches in their neighborhood, or, you know, there may be other kids of different ethnicities that may not have peanut butter sandwiches. So we can't serve peanut butter sandwiches are racist. Because that's a white kid sandwich.
Right.
You know what I mean?
This is where we are. But then it goes in the reverse, too, because also one of the stories that we told, I remember, was when there was a woman who worked in a cafeteria who was a black woman, and it was like it was Black Appreciation Month or Black History Month or whatever. And she was asked, hey, do a menu that's going to celebrate Black History Month. And she was like, oh, yeah. And so she made things on the menu like collard greens,
yeah,
like fried chicken. Uh-huh. Like all these things. And then there was, remember there's Questlove. Was he a hip hop guy?
I think so.
And he was furious.
He lost
and
his
then
mind.
Tweeted about it.
And that's
and
racist.
It exploded.
And that's racist.
And she was like, but that's but what I
second.
Eat.
That's my favorite food.
That's my
I
family's
like that.
Cooking.
Yeah.
I thought that's what you asked me to do.
Exactly.
So she was like in this total state of disbelief,
yeah,
that anybody was mad at her, especially a member of her own black community, mm-hmm, when she was like, but That's what y'all asked me to do. You told me to do this.
So what am I supposed to do? So pick a lane.
Well, that's exactly right.
So what am I supposed to
exactly,
do?
This is why we always talk about the left getting into such pretzels all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand it.
Because they just don't know where they stand.
I don't understand. But then again, you know, you look at like, I look at Obama, like back in 2008, right? And I think before Obama came into office, I mean, do you think that race relations in our country were okay before Obama?
They were better.
You think they were better?
I think that they were better
because,
before Obama.
Think about it, like he was supposed to be the great healer, right?
Yeah.
And I supposed
think it
to be the great,
mattered less
yeah,
before him.
See, I think so too.
Yeah.
I think because he was supposed to be the great unifier.
Yep.
You know, he was supposed to be the one that kind of, he was supposed to heal the oceans too, as you recall. I mean, he was the guy who was supposed to do that.
I didn't do that.
I feel like the oceans haven't
like the
been
oceans
healed.
Are,
I know.
No, they've not.
I know, they've not been healed. But he was supposed to do that. And so everybody looked, because, you know, we elected the first black president. And so he was the guy who was going to come in and we were all going to sing Kumbaya together. And, you know, it's like we did this, right?
And yeah, and it's not like he got elected without the white vote.
Right?
So I mean, now, granted, there's a lot of people there are white people who will admit today that they voted for him because of their white guilt.
Yeah.
Which just makes me insane.
Roseanne Arquette.
Right. And if that isn't just as racist.
I totally agree.
So you're gonna vote for someone because of
their skin color.
Isn't that kind of the same as not voting for them because of their skin color?
Exactly. It's just completely insane. Yeah. So that's the thing. And we didn't like Obama not because of his skin color. We didn't like him because of his policies.
Right.
You know, and people couldn't get past that. So I'm not really sure. Like there was such a fracturing of the country when he was elected. And then I don't think he did a very good job,
right,
as president. And it's like, well, what do you expect? The guy was a community organizer. I mean, he wasn't equipped to be the president. It has nothing to do with the skin color. I just didn't think he was a very good president.
Yeah. To me, it all went south with him when that whole incident happened with the professor and the cop.
Yeah.
And he was like, what was the line?
It was in Boston.
That the policeman acted stupidly.
Yeah.
And then there was the beer summit.
The beer summit.
That was the kickoff.
It was the beginning of the end.
Of the racial divide.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Ever since that moment.
Because it was like the way that cops are treated in this country.
Yeah.
Too. And how.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ever since that moment, I feel like everything has just gone.
Yep. Yep.
And it's never recovered.
It hasn't. Now
we're to the point, like you said earlier, we're to the point where now it's no longer enough to call someone racist. Now they're a full on white supremacist. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing we can do about it. It's purely based on our own skin tone. Mm-hmm. We are white, therefore we are automatically white supremacists.
Yeah.
And now it's not even about our skin color. It's about who you support as president.
Yeah.
So if you support President Trump, who is, according to the left, super racist and a white supremacist himself, by default, you are as well.
Which is ridiculous, because if you look at Donald Trump and what he's done, okay, so they base that all on what? On Charlottesville, which, you know, they've proven that.
How long are they going to keep up this false narrative on that one incident,
which was a false narrative.
And even when Jake Tapper is someone who points out, hey, you guys, that's actually not, he didn't condone white nationalism or white supremacy.
Exactly. So they took that and they ran with it. And they really, really ran with that one. Right. And then they'll say, okay, well, he doesn't like Mexicans. Well, that's not true at all. What he doesn't like is he doesn't like people coming into this country illegally, which a lot of us don't like. And there's a difference between legal immigration and illegal immigration, which we'll probably talk about in another podcast.
Yeah, that's
someday.
a whole other story.
Yeah. But that doesn't make somebody racist. It just doesn't. But they would like you to believe that. And so everything now is put into this giant bucket of racism. And it makes it so it stifles the conversation, and it makes it so we can't get things done. We can't talk to each other as human beings because there's just this giant elephant in the room of racism. It's insanity.
And it's the same people who are creating the elephant who also then say that they want there to be a conversation, which I can't stand when people are like, let's have a conversation. Even though we're like in a conversation.
Yeah,
and they're like, well, we need to have a conversation.
We're having one.
I thought that's what we were doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Is having the conversation. Mm-hmm. So, but these same people who are like, well, we need to have a conversation about race in this country. Mm-hmm. I feel like we have it so much that it's gone completely haywire about it. And it's the same people who then, if you have a conversation, get mad at you for having the conversation.
Yeah.
Case in point, Megyn Kelly.
Yeah.
Remember when she's simply trying to have a conversation
about blackface. Yeah.
And how
and
crazy.
And now she doesn't have a job.
Now she doesn't have a job.
Yeah.
And I still am blown away by how south that whole situation went and how fast.
Meanwhile, Governor Northam.
I know you like to mention one
actually,
on our regular show.
He did do blackface.
Right.
And he still has a freaking job.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
So Megyn Kelly is having, this is back when she had her show. What was it called? Was it the Kelly File?
It was called the Megyn Kelly I Do Yoga. And,
and I bake now.
And I bake and stuff when I actually should be doing network news. That's what I'm doing now. She was trying to do like a daytime thing.
Yeah,
it was cute. It was really cute.
All right. So super, she tried. But it was, that part of it was great.
It
when
was
she
great.
She was trying to have a panel discussion.
She was trying to have a conversation.
She's trying to have a conversation. Uh-huh. Asking questions that a lot of us have. Like, because we even, remember when we went on to the Don Lemon show?
I remember.
And we had a whole, he was asking us about the Halloween portion of this. Like how, you know, because now you can't wear a Pocahontas costume. You can't do the blackface anymore, certainly.
Yeah.
You can't pretend to be someone else if that could be any way misconstrued as racism.
Yeah.
That's what Megyn Kelly was trying to address. She was saying, what if I want to dress up as my idol, Diana Ross?
Yeah.
Why is it wrong for me to try as hard as I can on Halloween to look like her?
Yeah.
Which means dark makeup, the fro, we got all of it going on.
And the response to that is, you're fired.
Right.
That's the response to that question. And you're fired because you're white.
Because you can't say, you can't ask that question out loud.
No.
So how are we supposed to have a conversation?
Unless you're black, I guess. Unless you're black. Now, if you were a black person, you could ask those questions and have that conversation, I suppose.
But then we, you and I, then try to engage people on our regular radio show,
we
right?
May we may actually be, we may be fired right now. We may be having this conversation. I don't know.
This may be our last podcast.
This may be it. This may be it, you
Remember
guys.
Remember how we tried to take calls and we said, if you are a Black person,
yes,
please call us. Please weigh in on this.
Yeah,
and the answers
we
are
did that
all over the place.
They are.
So some there were some Black people.
It's kind of like with the N-word.
Exactly.
All
so
over
some
the
people
place.
Will call us and say, yes, if you're trying to honor someone like you are with Diana Ross, if you're trying to honor her, then darker makeup is okay. But you can't use like the exaggerated features.
But what is darker makeup? Like how much is, because like with me, if I put like two shades on, I'm going to look, you know what I mean? I'm
going to You're screwed no matter what.
I'm going to look like I'm trying to be somebody who's Black, right? I mean, because I don't know if I've mentioned this, but I am so white, you guys. I am really white. So that's the thing.
Well,
like, what is darker makeup?
And if the Black community doesn't have a unified answer on this, why is someone losing their job over asking a question?
Yeah.
That's my question.
Yeah.
That's the conversation I want to have.
Yeah.
Is when are we allowed to simply have a talk about it? When are, and the fact, the next day, she goes into this, she launches into this giant apology, right? So I was wrong. I don't know why she was wrong.
Now I understand. I've reflected because I don't know, I lost $20 million or something and I'm not working and it's just dumb. I mean, she should have just said, I don't know why this is such a big deal.
No, like, it should not have been a big deal. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, people, I thought, responded to us well when we took calls about it, when we actually did try to have, we wanted to engage Black people in that discussion to tell us, here, tell us what's right and what we can do, what we can't do. Mm-hmm. And when they don't have a unified answer, I don't know what we're expected to
do. Well, I think the same thing goes for the N-word in lyrics and songs.
Yes.
And we've had that discussion a lot on our show, too, because we just don't get it.
I still don't.
And we still don't, because we're just dumb white girls that don't understand what the rules are. There's no book that tells you, hey, so in this Kanye song, he uses the N-word in this Kanye song. So I'm a white girl and I love this song and I'm going to sing it and I'm going to sing it in my car. Well, when my daughter's not around, of course,
right.
I'm going to sing it in my car. Right. I'm singing along. And so if a Black person is with me, or if a Black person, if I have my windows rolled down and a Black person hears me in the car singing the song and I'm singing the lyrics, because the lyrics are the lyrics, right?
Everybody sings along to their favorite song.
That's what you do.
This is what you do.
And I happen to sing the lyric, that the particular phrase that has the N-word in it, does that make me racist?
Well,
does that make, what happens?
We need to have a conversation about it.
What is, we're doing that right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So what happens? So
what happens is that some Black people will say, that's fine.
Okay.
And then other people will completely freak out and you'll lose all your jobs.
And I'll lose all my jobs.
Right.
Okay.
So see how much sense that makes?
It makes zero sense, because that's the response we got. That's the response we got on the radio. We got some people that called in that said those very things. They said, you're a horrible person. You should never, you are not allowed to say. So basically I could sing all the way up to that word and then I have to go.
You got to bleep yourself.
And I got to bleep myself.
Yeah.
Or some people said, of course you can sing all the words.
Yeah, because that means you're just a fan and you're just, all you're doing is singing along lyrics. But think about how many sorority girls we've read about who've gotten in trouble for doing exactly that.
White girls. This is where it gets crazy, right?
It gets completely
crazy. We get
crazy.
Into like really muddy waters of, I guess some people feel this certain way, other people feel this certain way. So for us, at least for me, I think that you feel the same way. Just don't say it. Nobody should say that word.
Well, and again, it goes back to our discussion last week. We're getting to a point where no one is going to be able to talk to each other about anything ever again.
Yeah, but I think it's I think when it comes to that word, that awful word, I just don't think anybody should say that word.
Everybody should stop saying it.
Just stop saying that word.
But everybody should subscribe to this podcast.
Yeah.
Do you like my segue?
That was a really...
Did you like it?
That was a really one. See, I don't think that we solved any of the problems when it came to racism in this country. I don't think that things are going to get better.
I don't.
I wish I knew what was going to turn around.
I really wish that I could be positive. But I do worry. I worry about our kids, our younger kids.
Yeah.
I feel like things just used to be better. You know, yeah. When we were growing up, things were better. I didn't think about this kind of stuff when I was growing up. And I grew up with Black kids, and we all just sort of, we were friends.
Yeah.
We didn't think about this kind of stuff. It wasn't in the news cycle every 5 seconds. We weren't hearing about this garbage. I just feel like it is garbage. I don't know why everybody is so heated about it right now. I don't. And I think the media has a lot to do with it.
Well, it's all the left has. I mean, we're gearing up towards another election. This is all they've got. This is what they're going to focus on. And I think it's going to ensure another Trump victory.
And I hate it. I really hate it. So
it's just one more reason to listen into our daily radio show too on WIBC.com, 93 yeah. WIBC, and to subscribe to this podcast. These are kinds of things that we're going to break down every week, right?
Yeah, definitely do that. And follow us on Facebook. Follow us on all the things, Instagram at Chicks on Right, Twitter, the 13th Circle of Hell at Chicks on Right. You can follow us there. And then
tell your friends about this podcast.
Yes, like Mock said, follow us on this podcast. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Bye. We'll be right back.